I'd like to call this meeting of the Senate Community and Regional Affairs to order. For the record, the time is 3:35 p.m. on January 31st, 2017. We are in the Belts Committee Room of the Tom Stewart Building. Present are Senators Hoffman, Senator Stedman, Senator Gardner, myself, Senator Bishop. Senator McKinnon is away on other state business, but will be joining us momentarily. In order to meet all the timelines and commitments we have today, we've got two bills before us. Before we get into that, I'd like to recognize our staff today. Ann Kruckelberg from Senate Records, Matt Kern on the teleconference network, and John Manley from my office. We all know the cell phone drill. We have two Senate bills on our agenda today. Both are sponsored by Senator Coghill, these being Senate Bill 9 and Senate Bill 39. I'm going to ask that, again, to meet everybody's schedule, we'll have Senator Coghill come up, and he's just going to give us an accelerated overview of both bills, and he's got to run to State Affairs, and then his staff, Ms. Reneva Moss and Chad Hutchison, will come up and speak respectively to the individual bills. So, Senator Coghill, you know the drill, sir, so if you put your name on the record, we'll get going.
Sure. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Members of the committee, I'm Senator John Coghill from the Senate District B from the Fairbanks area. And in the Fairbanks area, the two issues that are before you today are of importance to help move the economy along as smoothly as we can. So, Mr. Chairman, would you like me to just start with Senate Bill 39 or 9?
39, please.
So Senate Bill 39 is a Commercial Property Assessment Energy Act, Clean Energy Act, which allows the municipality to do a bonding that allows really the bill payments to be put into municipal payments. It allows them to contract with banks under that bonding. And what it allows to do is, the best way I understand it, is allows the payment for some of these clean energy options to actually follow the real estate rather than the owner. So it's a voluntary program. It's set up primarily for change-out programs that we're looking forward to in the Fairbanks area. We're under kind of a pretty good-sized pressure for our PM 2.5 air quality issues, and getting natural gas into the interior is very, very important just for the air issue, let alone the quality of life on different fuels. Right now it's very, very close economically, but if you add the PM 2.5 and the penalties that we're going to get from being able to not comply, we're just not able to comply under the circumstances we live in, that we're going to have to start doing some of these change outs. So this was brought to me by the Alaska Energy Authority, and actually this is not a new idea. It's gone through the legislature. It ended up at the final gate last year that it just didn't get through. So we decided we'd pick it up because it's an important issue to my area. And that's really the basics of it, the reason for it, and the details of it you can get from my staff, Chad, and Reneva will both be able to bring them up. And speaking of municipalities, because we're host to two bases in the interior, we have set up, and this body approved, a military facility zone. And what we found out, in order to set up these facility zones, we had to go through a comprehensive plan. That comprehensive plan actually takes more time to go through than, say, a zoning ordinance would, and therefore becomes less and less valuable. And so we are proposing that the DMV, the Department of Military and Veterans Affairs, not have to approve this comprehensive plan. And any place that I'm speaking out of turn, certainly my staff will straighten me out. But these two areas have a huge impact on the municipality in which I live and represent. But it's also going to be helpful to any place else, whether it's Delta or Anchorage or any place else that, like King Salmon, that might deal with military issues. It's a way for the municipality to step forward and be more friendly economically that has a mutual benefit. So those two bills, Senate Bill 39 deals with the property assessment for the Clean Energy Act, and the military zones just needed some tweaking to make them work more time effectively. Mr. Chairman, thank you.
Thank you. Any questions for Senator Coghill? Seeing none, you better boogaloo over to
They'll require me for a vote dealing with Senate Bill 1 and 2. So
okay, good. Well, thank you. And we'll go ahead and call. We finished on 9. You want to, Chad, would you like to come up and we'll take a brief at ease while you load the program. Back on the record, state your name, rank, serial number for the committee, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, my name is Chad Hutchison. I'm staff for Senator Coghill. Today I'm going to be presenting Senate Bill 9. Senate Bill 9 deals with military facility zones, and as you can see by the picture, a lot of it's affected by the recent announcements related to the F-35 decision at Eielson Air Force Base. There's going to be 54 aircraft going to be positioned at Eielson Air Force Base, and so really what SB 9 does is it helps the military industry that's in the surrounding community around military installations. The F-35s are part of it, but there's actually more going on, particularly in the interior, as we move forward. So I'll talk a little bit about that as we move forward. Some of the action points that you see today from this presentation that came from the Tiger Team in Fairbanks. The Tiger Team is made up of Senator Murkowski, Senator Sullivan, Congressman Young's office. They have the borough mayor, Mayor Castle. The Fairbanks mayor is Jim Matherly, and the North Pole mayor is Bryce Ward. Other representatives include the Chamber of Commerce and the Fairbanks Economic Development Corp, headed by Jim Dotson. So some of these points, some of the points that you're going to see today, they came out of those discussions through the last couple of years as we dealt with military issues in the interior. In a nutshell, SB 9 is about maximizing the benefit for the local community in the surrounding area next to a military installation. There you see a picture of Eielson Air Force Base that's probably taken during the Red Flag exercises where they have more fighter aircraft. That's going to be similar to what's going to happen when they do have the 54 aircraft there. In addition to, one of the things that will happen in the future, too, is they need more refueling, which is a conversation that's happening right now, but it's not necessarily the most public thing in the world. But the F-35 is a thirsty aircraft, and they're going to need refueling tankers to assist with that. The military industry is an important part of Fairbanks' economy generally, but it also affects other areas of the state too. The ones that are getting the most attention right now are Allison, Fort Wainwright, which just had the Apaches come onto post, and the Gray Eagle Squadron, which is the unmanned aerial vehicles. You have CLEAR, which houses the LRDR, which is the Long Range Discrimination Radar. Also, the contract there is also Lockheed Martin, which does the fighter aircraft for the F-35s. And you have Fort Greely, where they have 14 new missile interceptors that are being placed out at Fort Greely. So there's going to be a benefit potentially to Delta, to Anderson, to Fairbanks North Pole, around J-Bear. There's a lot of different communities that will benefit from this bill potentially. So this is given to the committee for demonstration purposes. This was given to us by the Corps of Engineers during a local supplier day event in late 2016. This is for demonstration purposes only. It just gives you a sense of how much construction is actually occurring. You can see in the middle part, a large portion of it is related directly to the F-35 placement. You see the Army has got facilities that are being built, and you have the MDA, which is the Missile Defense Agency, which is out at CLEAR, and it has to do with the long-range discrimination radar. But the purpose of this slide is to show you that we have a tight window. As you can see, some of the construction has already started, and when the Air Force and the DOD and the Army decides to go forward with the project, they're going to move quickly. And this is one of the reasons why this bill is important for 2017, because we want to make sure that we're maximizing the benefit during the short window that we have right now. The opportunity is right now, and this is what we're trying to maximize for Alaskans, so Alaskans, the contractors and the subcontractors in the surrounding area can work on base, they can work on post, and ensure that Alaskans reap the benefit. So what are military facility zones? Just a reminder, these are designated areas established by the Department of Military and Veterans Affairs, DMVA, usually close to a military installation like Eielson, like Fort Wainwright. The key purpose is to ensure that the industrial and economic development capacities of the surrounding area are maximized to the extent possible. It's all about the military mission, and if the entity or the corporation that's doing the construction project, if it's deemed pursuant to helping the greater military mission, it can open up, if you're in this military facility zones, for public and private financing, credit guarantee programs. You think about DOD grants, you think about Air Force grants, you think about ADA, you have to consider Alaska Financing Corp may be looking at residential housing for dependents off base. There's a lot of different funding sources and mechanisms to help stimulate the economy surrounding the base, and it's all about the underlying military mission. If it's deemed helpful to that military mission, then it can qualify, and that's a good sign for the surrounding communities. So the DMVA currently, if you read the bill in front of you, it considers a number of different factors in the applications from the local communities. One of them, as Senator Coghill mentioned, has to do with the comprehensive plan. Mr. Stepp, Jeff Stepp, is a representative for the Fairbanks North Star Borough, and he reminded me a few days ago that the last time the Fairbanks North Star Borough did a comprehensive plan was in 2005. That's really before they started analyzing these military facility zones. That's right in the same time frame, too, as the BRAC hearings, if folks remember. So as we go forward, and these become more prevalent, particularly around the country. There's ones in Georgia, there's Arizona. They all have similar capacities, but maybe slightly different names. But the intent is the same, to make sure they have the state and municipality concurrent behavior that helps the military mission at the base, at the post, whatever's the military installation that's close by. So one of the problems with these comprehensive plans is they're resource intensive and they take a lot of time. And as you saw from the previous slide, we got a very, very limited window. So they're trying to change that, and the suggestion that's been given to us is that you just add four words and it says or local zoning ordinance. So the local zoning ordinances are quicker than these time-consuming comprehensive plans. And we think that that's going to be a better fit for the window that we're talking about to maximize the benefit for all this MILCON spending, military construction spending, which is, it was allocated in September of 2016. It's around $561 million, which is a good cash influx from the state's perspective. So if you have any questions about any of that, please let me know.
Okay. Thank you, Chad. Committee members, questions? Ms. Garza?
So this is all a lot of words that really adds four words to an existing comprehensive plan that allows local businesses to participate in all this construction.
Senator Gardner, through the chair, you are correct. I just wanted to make sure that that everyone emphasized that we also have a tight window, and that's why it's of high priority of people in the interior.
Thank you.
Any questions? Seeing none, we're going to hold this bill over till next Thursday. And we do have online, and I can't disseminate if Jeff, Steph, or Jim Dodson are here for 39 or 9.
On my Senator Bishop, I believe it's for 9.
Okay. All right, so let's go to Fairbanks on public comment, and we'll start with Jim Dodson first.
Senator Bishop, thank you for the members of the committee. Thank you for the opportunity to testify to you today. I am here to speak on behalf of Senate Bill 9. Chad Hutchison basically gave you the outline of the bill, what it accomplishes. Not only does the way the current legislation is written, it causes undue time constraints, but it also causes money constraints that none of us have today. In an effort to be more efficient and diversify our economy, we are speaking in favor of this bill. It is a great Fairbanks today is a great example of a community that comes together with the state and the municipalities to diversify its economy. We want to continue that work, and we are hoping for your support. Thank you again for the opportunity to testify. If you have any questions, I'd be glad to answer them.
All right. I don't have any questions. Senator Gardner, did you have a question?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I guess I have a question either from the testimony to person testifying or from the bill sponsor, and that is there any opposition to this bill that anyone's aware of?
Senator Gardner, through the chair, I'm not aware of any opposition.
Thank you.
All right. Well, Jim, thank you for being online. I see we got Jeff Stepp online too, but I think he might be online for 39.
No, sir. I'm online for Senate Bill 9.
Okay, because I got 1 and 1. So anyway, we'll fire away. Jeff, floor is yours.
Okay, it's good to see you. This is Jeff Stepp. I'm staff to Fairbanks North Star Borough Mayor Carl Castle. Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, for hearing this bill early in the session. As I think you know, the statutory authority for municipalities and the Department of Military and Veterans Affairs to create military facility zones was established by the 27th legislature with House Bill 316 back in 2012. To reiterate a little of what Chad said, by design, the military facility zones are designated areas in close proximity to a military installation where increased industrial activity, economic development, workforce development, or training and educational activities will directly enhance the base's ability to fulfill its mission. That's what makes them so appealing to a community. By promoting expansion of infrastructure such as civil defense, homeland security, and by encouraging increased private sector activity near these installations and opening the door to state and federal business development tax credits, loans, and other funds, military facility zones can help facilitate economic growth and development in communities, regions, and the entire state of Alaska. The synergy created by the shared knowledge, leveraged resources, and combined efforts focused on these common concepts and goals can yield greater benefits for the community and the military. Kind of of more specifically addressing this particular legislation and why it's important to us to add the language about planning and zoning is that currently a military facility zone must be determined to be consistent with the comprehensive plan, as Chad said. Comprehensive plans have broad land use designations and a wide variety of goals and policies. Military facility zone designation proposals are site-specific locations which are generally smaller in scale than the broad generalized categories of different types of future land use listed in comprehensive plans. Site selection for a military facility zone is intended to be optimized for civilian-military interface, public-private partnerships. While comprehensive plans address a wide range of land use elements, many Alaska communities, including the Fairbanks North Star Borough, have comprehensive plans that are unfortunately outdated, did not anticipate a land use type such as military facility zone designation, and or do not address military facilities, and sometimes not even economic development at all. As Chad said, the process to amend a comprehensive plan is lengthy and can be expensive and often difficult. Zoning, however, is a regulatory tool that identifies the appropriate use of each specific parcel of land and the applicable process for obtaining a land use permit. Zoning regulations are required to be adopted in accordance with local comprehensive plans. Zoning is a better, quicker, more specific method for a community to evaluate a specific development proposal, a building site plan, or a military facility zone by applying the detailed standards that are found in both local zoning regulations and the military facility zone legislation. So the greater flexibility in how we can qualify for the military facility zone designation provides communities around the state and the Fairbanks North Star Borough with more local control to decide the best location and process for determining compatibility. And that's why this legislation is important to us, Mr. Chairman. We appreciate your consideration, and we're certainly available for questions now or in the future.
Thank you for your comments, Jeff. I'm looking. I don't see any questions from committee members. And thank you. I don't see anybody else online. We do have Bob Dole, Deputy Commissioner of DMVA, is in the room for public testimony. Rob, please come on up and put yourself on the record and fire away.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chairman. Bob Dole, Deputy Commissioner, DMVA. I'm not going to rehash what the other folks ahead of me have said. I'll say the department supports and endorses this bill. Since the passage of the original bill, we have had exactly zero applicants for these sorts of zones. We believe that the time and expense is why we don't have military facility zones in Alaska. This provides a way to make that thing, make it happen. It's an opportunity for diversity of our economy, as we talked about. It's also an opportunity to make our bases more cost-effective and more viable. By having those facilities up here to assist them, we make our bases more resilient in the background, and Senator McCain is calling for one as of 3 or 4 days ago in his latest role as on the Senate Armed Services Committee. And we also take the money that goes into running that base, and we have it provide by having Alaskans provide those services, be it a rebuild facility or other supplier logistics things, Alaskans will get the benefit of that. That's all I have, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Questions from committee members? Seeing none, thank you, Bob, and appreciate your service. We're going to close public comment on 9, but it'll still be open for 39. So we are going to set this bill aside till Thursday, and I think at this point we've been joined a little bit ago by Senator McKinnon. Welcome. And Reneva, would you like to come up and walk us through 39, please? And this is not a new bill to this committee.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, Reneva Moss, staff to Senator Coghill. And you're correct, this is not a new piece of legislation. This went through the process last year. And I'm just going to briefly for the benefit of Senator McKinnon, go over some of the same information that Senator Coghill provided at the beginning of the meeting. Basically, what this bill does is it adds extra powers to homeowner municipalities and first and second class boroughs. It allows them to establish commercial property assessed clean energy programs. This is completely voluntary. It's the choice of the municipality. And what it does is it creates a system that was modeled after Texas that makes each CPACE uniform in the state and makes it more attractive to bonding, to federal grants, to commercial banks, commercial loans. And it allows a person with a commercial facility to borrow money to make their facility more energy efficient. And the cost of the financing, the loan payments, are collected through the tax assessor's office and are paid to the loan provider, whether it be the municipality or a commercial bank, in the same way that property taxes are collected. As I said, it's completely voluntary. The system is set up so that there are written contracts between all parties. It requires the holder of a mortgage to sign off on approval of a CPACE loan that bumps the mortgage holder's lien below the CPACE lien, which will be paramount to all liens except for municipal tax liens and other special assessments. As I said, it opens up opportunities for federal grants and loans that the municipality could use or the borrower could use for these grants. As Senator Coghill mentioned, the encumbrance follows the real estate, not the owner. When a property is sold, the remaining assessments for the loan go with the property. And that is pretty much what this bill does. If you would like, I can go through it section by section.
Looking at committee members, do we I think we got a good one from last year. Okay. Thank you. any questions, committee members? If not, we have two individuals from AEA here in the audience, and we'd like to bring them up, Gene Terrio and Sean Scaling. I don't know if I've said that right. Come on up. And
is the PowerPoint on here, or shall I do
another? We'll take a brief at ease. We're back on the record. We're in our public comment period, and we have with us former Senator Gene Terrio and Sean Skilling from AEA. So, gentlemen, put yourself on the record and show us what you got.
Sean Skilling with Alaska Energy Authority.
And Gene Terrio with Alaska Energy Authority.
Thank you.
Reneva Moss gave a great introduction, so I think I will be able to go pretty quickly here. The key I see to commercial property assessed clean energy, or CPACE, is that it's knocking down barriers that currently exist for commercial buildings to become more efficient, and the key to it is that it has a voluntary payback through the tax assessment, as she covered already. I thought what might be helpful is to go through a scenario just to illustrate or kind of paint a picture of how this might work, and the need for it as well. So currently, picture a building in your community, a commercial building, and this is an example of a building that got a commercial energy audit through Alaska Energy Authority some years ago and hit the wall that we're talking about, and so this may help them break through. And I'm just going to talk in general terms now. The numbers and whatnot I use are fictitious. It's not for this building per se, but it's kind of an average of what we've seen. So commercial energy building, commercial property owners are uncomfortable with the amount of money that they're putting into their electric and heating bills. They hire an energy auditor to come in and tell them exactly what they could do, what each different measure might cost, and the energy saved from that. So line by line, they can get energy efficiency or renewable energy measures and how good the payoff is on each one of them. So they go through and do that. The auditor comes back with a whole list of things that they can do, each one of them cost effective. It'll pay for itself in the energy savings. And in total, it'll save the building about 30% of its energy bills, and that's a fairly typical number that we see time after time. So if this property owner had cash, they would probably just pay it because it's a great return on investment. But let's just say they don't. They want to get a loan. They go to the bank. The bank looks at this and gives them, you know, four-year term to pay back the loan. I guess I failed to mention earlier that in this pretend scenario, the payback period for the average of the energy efficiency improvements is 6 years. So immediately, once the efficiency measures are conducted, the building on day one is saving a lot of energy, saving 30%. But the bill payment to pay back the loan, they're still paying a little bit more per month than they did originally. So there's a benefit to stretching out the loans where they can actually be cash flow positive immediately, and that's one thing that CPACE will do. But let's just follow the scenario through. So the owners of the building also think, well, we might be growing out of our space within a few years. So maybe in 3 years we'll even be out of the building. And so for a couple of reasons, we're not comfortable making these energy efficiency improvements. So they continue for the 3 years until they move out, paying the higher bill amounts. They then sell the building. The new owner comes in, and they're still paying the higher bills. And that money is going out of that building and essentially out of the community to pay for the fuel and energy costs. So what CPACE will do then is allow a couple things. In this case, actually, let me just get into the next slide. Voluntary is capitalized there because it's really important. This is voluntary on the community's part, voluntary for the building owner. It's even voluntary for the bank. But what it does is it allows the banks to be more comfortable because it's going through a set process. So they are comfortable with the energy savings, that there is dollar energy savings involved that can be used to pay back the loan. So they can offer more attractive loan terms that will stretch out the payment period, make that cash flow positive on day one after the energy efficiency improvements. Also, since another of their concerns was moving out of the building in 3 years, now that payment, both the benefits of the efficiency and the payment, is connected to the building. So the next property owner will own the building. They'll continue paying on the tax bill, the loan that's paid, the loan that's owed, but they'll also be getting the benefits. And they'll likely only have a couple more years of payments, and then they'll get all of the energy savings benefits. So what's eligible? Energy efficiency and alternative energy. It must be affixed to the building and so therefore be sold when the building is sold. HVAC, heating and cooling systems, are one of the more common and more expensive measures that offers a lot of savings as well. You have lighting, controls, more efficient motors. And then in the alternative energy side, probably the most common we would see is heat pumps, air source heat pumps or ground source heat pumps. Solar and fuel switching is another alternative. This is just a graph of that energy savings I was talking about. The green area is the energy they say, the energy payments that the building makes. You can see there's a huge drop when they make those efficiency improvements, and the loan repayment fits under what they had been paying originally. And this diagram, just quickly describe it. We'll start with the property owner in the middle. This is, we'll just follow the money around. Property owner wants to make improvements. They get money from the investors in the bottom right or bank to make those improvements, therefore employing a bunch of local folks in the energy supplier community. They then pay back the debt through the local city, which then pays the investor back or the bank. It's been enabled in 33 states. As was mentioned, Alaska's is modeled after Texas's, which has been very successful. They now have about a dozen municipalities that are exercising PACE. And so time to add Alaska to that map. So it really is a win-win-win all the way around. Seems like there's a benefit for everybody involved. Property owners, for example, will pay lower utility bills. The property is improved, a better work environment. There have been a lot of studies on just the efficiency of employees when they're comfortable and well, and their working area is well lit. Lenders will be issuing new loans that they might not have otherwise issued. There's less risk. Excuse me. And they have a consistent process statewide once this is enabled. And contractors and vendors get more business, more local hiring. They're schooled up on best practices and new technologies. And there are other benefits, too, to tenants and municipalities and others. I'm going to turn it over to Gene Terrio now to talk about some of the financing options.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. In a previous position I held in a national energy organization, I became aware of PACE programs and started to look into the programs that allowed states to help their constituents with energy improvements, and also looked into funding sources. I identified a couple of funding sources at the RUS, Rural Utility Services, which is a division of the U.S. Division of Department of Agriculture. A lot of utilities in the state of Alaska have in the past or currently are RUS eligible to actually tap into the source of funds that they have for energy improvements. One of them that I'd like to speak to you about is called the ECLIP program. That's the Energy Efficiency and Conservation Loan Program. The source of money that comes through the ECLIP or is available through the ECLIP, currently the interest rate, if you want to be a utility or an entity that borrows from the RUS, you can get 10-year money at 2.5% interest rate. If you want to tap into a source of money that you then loan out to a commercial property, the interest rate goes up to 2.8%. So it's relatively low interest source of money that that can be made available to businesses in the state of Alaska to make these improvements. One of the things that the ECLIP program specifically is looking for in the regulation is a mechanism that helps lower or assure that the default rates are going to be low, and the PACE program is one such mechanism. Last year when AEA was working on the piece of legislation, we actually corresponded with the RUS, told them about the specifics of our proposed legislation, and got a letter from them basically saying that the PACE mechanism, they understood the PACE mechanism, and it would be one of the mechanisms that would help be attractive to them as far as somebody making application to get access to the ECLIP source of money. The ECLIP program is part of RUS's ongoing yearly budget, so if the federal budget continues under a continuing resolution, that fund is refreshed, and it gets about $250 million per year. And my own personal discussions with RUS personnel, that fund is underutilized, and they are interested in working with states to help constituent groups tap into it as a source of money. A second program that I became aware of that was just funded in calendar year 2016, although it had been on the RUS books for a number of years, is the Rural Energy Savings Program. That one, unlike ECLIP, requires a congressional appropriation. There was an appropriation that was passed in December 2015. That money is ultimately resulting in about $50 million being available nationwide. But the interest rate on that source of funds is very attractive. If you're the state entity or a utility that has access to that, basically comes with an interest rate of zero to you, the utility. Then when you lend it out to the commercial property owner through the local government, if that's the routing for the money, they can add on a little bit to that interest rate to cover the local expenses. And the regulations, again, for that specific program talks about any additional repayment mechanisms that demonstrate or have demonstrated appropriate risk mitigation features. And again, the PACE mechanism, because the local government has the full collection power that it applies to its property taxes and general governmental assessments, all of that power applies to the collection of the PACE obligation, and so therefore across the nation the default rates are under 1%. So the PACE mechanism is the type of mechanism that RUS specifically is looking for to assure that there's low default rates and can help then local governments get access to these low cost loan funds. Thank you.
All right. Any questions from committee members? Thank you, gentlemen. Seeing none, we're going to close. Public testimony is closed. It's the intention of the chair to hold these two Senate bills until our next meeting on Thursday, so members in the public can more completely understand them. And in addition, we're going to have we'll bring these bills back up, and we're going to hear a bill from Senator Steadman, Senate Bill 28, relating to a land grant to Petersburg. That'll be up on Thursday as well, so we look forward to that. I can't wait for that presentation. That'll be fun. And having no further...
No, we do actually have one person in the Fairbanks area.
Oh, who's that? Well, it looks like we've got somebody. Well, I don't know.
Doesn't show.
Well, it's... We've got to go to the next...
He testified.
What is the name of the person?
Back on the record, so we do have somebody in Fairbanks that wants to testify on SB 39. Brittany Smart, you're on deck. Floor is yours.
Thank you very much, Chair and committee members. Just wanted to offer our continued support for this PACE authorizing legislation, though we recognize that it does deal with various forms of energy efficiency and alternative energy upgrades. However, we are very eager to use this as a tool to help with our natural gas conversions, to also help with our air quality issues that we have facing the Fairbanks North Star Borough. So I'll keep it short and leave it at that. If you have any questions, I'm available. Otherwise, thank you very much for hearing this so early in session.
Thank you, Brittany. I see no questions. Public comment is closed. And I'd like to say that we'll see everybody Thursday afternoon and look forward to our next meeting. Meeting's adjourned.